But Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG and health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim, Sindown, Naman, Australia, and PNG.
Hello and welcome to this month's episode of AHC On Air. I'm your host, Gregor Vira. National NAIDOC Week in Australia celebrates and recognises the history, culture and achievements of Indigenous First Nations peoples. In Port Moresby, National NAIDOC Week activities will include an art exhibition and a film festival. Details of the events can be found on the Australian High Commission website and Facebook page. On this month's AHC On Air program, we provide an insight into Australian First Nations cultures by speaking to First Nations representatives about the histories of some of the oldest continuous living cultures on Earth. I have with me now Kenny Bedford, a traditional owner from the Mirum clan of Erub in the Torres Strait Islands and a member of the National NAIDOC Week Committee. Thank you, Kenny, for joining us on the program. Firstly, can you tell us a bit more about yourself and the different roles that you play, not only in the National NAIDOC Week Committee, but with Reconciliation Australia and the From the Art campaign?
My name's Kenny Bedford. I'm from the Mayoram tribe of Erub in the northeast of the Torres Strait, a proud Torres Strait Islander man. I also have connections into Papua New Guinea through my family there at Parama in the Western Province, and I'm proud of my roots there, and I'm happy to be here today to speak to PNG families, you know, across the nation, in that beautiful part of the world that I can't wait to return to visit Papua New Guinea as a special place in my heart. So I want to send out my love and respect and greetings to all the listeners there in the land of the unexpected, Papua New Guinea. Love it. Now, I play a number of different roles in the Indigenous community here in Australia. I sit on the board of Reconciliation Australia, which is that body that oversees the reconciliation process in Australia, which has been going for some 30 years now. And apart from the national NAIDOC Week, another big week in Australia in the Indigenous and in the national calendar is National Reconciliation Week. And this year we had that theme again, be a voice for generations. And that's also very much around paying respects to our elders, you know, similar to our National NAIDOC Week theme this year for our elders. So that's an important focus for us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and communities and families right across the nation.
Thank you, Kenny. You briefly mentioned the National NAIDOC Week. Can you tell us a bit more about what the National NAIDOC Week is about and some of the activities that will take place?
NAIDOC Week is that week where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, as the first peoples of our homelands, of our place here in Australia, we come together across the nation, across all of our different communities to celebrate our diverse cultures, our ways of life, our traditional ways, our connection to our land and seas and skies. And it's really the biggest week in our Indigenous national calendar, if you like, and usually it's over that first week of July where we celebrate National NAIDOC Week, that's coming up for all of us here. And this year, as part of NAIDOC Week, every year we have a theme, and the theme for National NAIDOC Week 2023 is dedicated to our elders. So the theme is for our elders this year. And you and I, in our cultures, know how important it is to recognise and acknowledge and pay respect to our elders. And this is a way we can do that as a community of Indigenous peoples in this nation. Share that love and respect of our elders to each other and to non-Indigenous Australians over the week. NAIDOC Week will kick off this year with the National NAIDOC Awards that will happen in Brisbane. And at the National NAIDOC Awards, we'll be recognising achievement in a number of categories across our communities, people who are doing fantastic things from sport to education to innovation, Elders of the Years, Lifetime Achievement Awards, and they'll be broadcast for the first time on ABC. So I'm guessing that audiences in Papua New Guinea will have an opportunity to see those fantastic awards that celebrate our Indigenous achievements here, because there's some excellent things happening right across our communities, and this is a chance for us to recognise and highlight those some of those achievements that are going on through the National NAIDOC Awards.
The people-to-people links in the Torres Strait are amongst the strongest and longest historic ties between Australia and Papua New Guinea. How important are the connections between First Nations peoples, Papua New Guineans, and the wider Pacific region, and what more can we do to strengthen those ties?
Well, look, I've got connections into Parama and to the Western Province. I'm from Erub, Darnley Island, in the northeast of the Torres Strait. And when I'm celebrating my elders, I'm celebrating my elders there too, across the border on my in my grassroots connections in the treaty villages there. And that's the case for many of us in the Torres Strait. But I guess it's also an example and a reflection of how we are all connected somehow to those tribes and communities, you know, close to us over centuries and millennia of our existence, you know. And this also goes to a lot of our Indigenous people who are connected to Pacific Island nations and communities. At Erub, we've also got strong connections with many of the South Sea Islander communities of Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, of course, and other places in the Pacific. So, and as we talked about before, especially around this theme, again, we share a lot of those values and ways and cultures and traditions, particularly around the important role that our elders play in our community, and that high respect and regard we have for them and their place in passing on tradition, cultures and ways of life. And this becomes more and more important as we are more exposed to Western ways, as the world becomes smaller through technology and connectivity. We must hold on to those values that make us who we are, who give us our strong identity in a global context. And we are part of a bigger family and network in the Pacific, we share that important Indigenous connection and link to the places we come from. So, you know, there's a lot there for us to keep sharing into the future, and there's a lot of elders out there that come from other parts of the world, including the Pacific, that will be celebrated as part of our NAIDOC Week celebration. So this is very, very inclusive, and as we all know, we have strong connections into all parts of the world, but particularly around our Pacific nations here.
And that was Kenny Bedford, a traditional owner from the Mirum clan of Erub in the Torres Strait Islands and a member of the National NAIDOC Week Committee, talking to us about this year's National NAIDOC Week celebrations. We will now take a short break. On the other side of the program, we will hear from Larrakia woman and senior elder, Auntie Bilawara Lee, about First Nations people's culture and protocols. Stay tuned.
This pela and one pela big pela talk survey igolongol man Mary. CKSF ikalap igolongol nara pela peles Long Highlands na emken kilimol pick bilong yumi suppose yumi no walking one pela something now. Noken karim pick long one pela hap igolong nara pela. Noken karim pick meet long walkabout bilong you na banisim all pick bilong you. Puti malong all pick na ringim nakia long 1801332 o talk survey longol walkman long place bilong you suppose picky sick or in die.
Tokorai tikam na National Agriculture Quarantine and Inspection Authority.
Welcome back to AHC On Air. Australian First Nations cultures is among some of the oldest continuous living cultures on Earth. To learn more about some of these cultures, we will hear from Larrakia woman and senior elder, Auntie Bilawara Lee, who spoke during a webinar series on Australian Indigenous Elders, hosted by the Australian High Commission in Singapore.
And I think the next thing I was going to talk about was welcome to countries. Why are they done? It's multi-layered. When people ask us to do a welcome to country, they're showing us respect and our ancestors. For us to do a welcome to country is very important because it's like if you had a house and you were going to have people come visit your house, they don't just stroll in and do what they like. You've got to welcome them in. And it's like if you go to another country, you know, because we do live mind, body, spirit, it's safe to be welcomed on to our country. It's done to introduce you to the ancestors and to our mother, the earth, so that when you live and work on our country, you are kept safe. And for me, a welcome to country is about acknowledging the past and looking to the future. Spiritually, I'm honouring the presence of my ancestors whose spiritual ancient energy flows through all creation. And I want to introduce you to that when I do the welcome. And generally, we like an elder to do the welcome, but it's nowadays, it's as long as they are a traditional custodian of that country that they're on, they're the only ones that can do the welcome to country. Many a time I've come across people trying to make another Aboriginal person do a welcome to country, like somebody from Ngunnawal country or from, you know, Jawan country here in Darwin. And they're like, just get up and do a welcome. And they go, no. We can't do that. So that's the difference between a welcome to country and acknowledgement of country. And for me today, when I do a welcome to country, it often allows me, depending on where I do it in my area, I'm also singing the song line for that piece of where I'm standing. Now, an acknowledgement to country can be done by anyone else. And it's showing respect to the traditional custodians of the land that you're on. And I will often do this when I go out of Larrakia country. And I have it, I've been spending a long time reviving the Larrakia language. Unfortunately, they chose to make my country the capital city of the Northern Territory and got smacked out of us. Well, I know I was smacked as a kid if I spoke the language, but we're getting it back. And wherever I go, I always, even if I go over to England or to America, I will acknowledge whoever's countries it's on. And I go to California a lot. And when I first went and I said an acknowledgement to the people of that land, they were really shocked, but now they love it and they do it too. So anyone, anyone can do an acknowledgement to country, and generally you just pay your respects to Ngunnawal people, Larrakia people, Wurundjeri people, whoever, you know, and pay your respects to the elders past, present and future. So, and then an elder from a Larrakia perspective is usually somebody over 60 who is a grandparent and has shown a lifetime of dedication to law, both LAW and LORE, and they work to support the community. And generally they will tell you, go through a little ceremony. You go through a ceremony to become an elder. However, in today's communities, a lot of Aboriginal people, and I've seen them as young as 35, stand up and declare themselves an elder. Yeah, well, no, not in the traditional way, they're not. And even an old person is not recognised as an elder if they are not upholding the law or they have some sort of mastery, a Yiriki master, a didgeridoo master, or a storyteller, or a hunter-gatherer. And they're usually somebody that really understands their law. I'm a communicator. I'm probably what you would classify as a storyteller. And yeah, the Larrakia Nation at a big gathering walked me to the front and declared me an elder, so I knew then that I was safe in stepping forward. Because there are implications if you stand up and declare yourself an elder. Usually it's done for the wrong reasons. And eventually, you know, things don't go so well for you. I was going to touch on a couple of rituals that have become extremely popular with the wider community. And the first one is the smoking ceremony. And, you know, all cultures use smoke as a spirit cleanser. Water is a physical cleanser. So when you have a shower, you know, you get rid of all the sweat and the nasties on the body. And prayer and meditation is a mind or soul cleanser. But smoke is absolutely used as a spirit cleanser because everybody has a mind, body and spirit. It also is the first ritual that we do for all important events. I'm a marriage celebrant and many people ask me to do the smoking. And what it does, it cleanses the body of all negativity. And I can usually, as a healer, I can see when people's shoulders are all slumped and weighed down. I can actually see it's like a sticky, icky, inky mass of smoke. And that's negativity. And so the more you have on you, the more you attract. So doing a smoking ceremony actually dissolves all that, gets rid of it, makes you feel lighter and not so weighed down, allows you to stand up and do what you have to do. We use smoke to cleanse the environment of negativity. And here a modern adaptation is that if there is a house that's had a death, or they've sold drugs there, or there's been a lot of domestic violence, all that negativity sticks to the walls. Well, I'll go in with maybe a couple of my brothers and we will smoke the house out. They can scrub it as much as they like, repaint the walls and everything, but that negativity is still there till we cleanse it out with smoke. And if they don't cleanse it with smoke, it attracts more negative people into that house. So only negative people will end up in there and it just gets worse and worse. So we do that. Smoke is also what I use. People stick tentacles on you. Loved ones, colleagues, friends, children, parents. And they can push and pull you around through the tentacles. So the smoke will sever those tentacles so that you can stand up and be responsible for your own actions and make decisions for your what you have to in life. And smoke will also help protect you from And I live in a world with Aboriginal people. We're very strong believers in psychic attacks. As a healer, when I have a patient come to me who's experiencing all sorts of stuff, whether it's a physical manifestation of a spiritual reason, I will do the smoking ceremony to protect them and get rid of all that negative energy. So that's why we do the smoking. It is critically important.
And that was an excerpt from the Australian Indigenous Elders webinar series. And we heard from Larrakia woman and senior elder, Auntie Bilawara Lee, about some of the First Nations people's culture and protocols. We will now take a short break, more when we return.
Supporting women and girls to participate fully in political, economic and social life is important for both Australia and Papua New Guinea. Australia supports the government of Papua New Guinea to achieve and implement their plans, such as the National Gender-Based Violence Strategy and the Sorcery National Action Plan. Our priorities are increasing women's leadership and influence, increasing women's economic empowerment, and violence prevention and response.
Welcome back. You're listening to AHC On Air. In mid-May this year, the Australian Papua New Guinea Business Council hosted the 38th Australia PNG Business Forum and Trade Expo. The event provided an avenue for businesses and officials from the two countries to network and chart the way forward in strengthening business ties. Amongst the participants was Chair of the Queensland First Nations Tourism Industry Council, Cameron Costello. My colleague Elizabeth caught up with Cameron during the business forum and has this interview.
We'll just start off by, if you could just introduce yourself.
Yura, hello, I'm Cameron Costello. I'm a Quandamooka man from Moreton Bay off Brisbane. Quandamooka is a customary landholders of Brisbane there. The island's Majeraba, which is North Stradbroke Island, Wilgumpin, Moreton Island. I have a number of hats, but I'm the Deputy Chair of the Queensland Tourism Industry Council and Interim Chair of the Queensland First Nations Tourism Council, and on the Brisbane 2032 Olympic Games and Paralympic Games Legacy Committee for the Queensland Government.
Okay, first question, how important is this forum to you, especially for Australian businesses coming into PNG and investing in this country?
Yeah, it's an extremely important event for Australia as a country. There's been a long history in terms of trade and investment between our two nations, and that should continue, and there should be a greater looking forward towards 2032 and the Olympic Games, how we strengthen that relationship and share our knowledge and the capacity between the two nations so that everyone's prospering. From a First Nations perspective, it's extremely important. We're getting, in Australia, the customary lands are being returned to the First Nations people, and so our opportunity to look at our trade and investment as well as we are growing and developing our businesses in a range of things, there's a natural alignment to wanting to work with other First Nations groups. So for us, First Nations to First Nations capacity building, economic development, trade, co-investment, those are the potential things that I'm hoping out of the forum I can explore and help advance down the track.
Okay, what are some areas that you see in PNG that could work, especially now that you've mentioned, you know, Indigenous businesses working together? What are those areas that or need in PNG that we could work together to develop?
Yeah, I think there's a number of opportunities across, the vehicles of sport and recreation, of tourism, of the environment and climate change. So these are all sort of sectors that are there, agribusiness as well. So they're opportunities. But I think one of the key things for First Nations for us, and that we're in some of the projects I'm working on, is about how we as communities look at our education and training for our young ones. That's going to be really important. It's, you know, we talk about renewable energy and those basic infrastructure things. There's the need for education and training of our young people, employment, that skill, that trained workforce that can actually underpin those sectors as well. So if we want to develop a renewable energy sector, then we have to have the education and training in place. And so they're similar things for us, for our remote communities in Australia, for Aboriginal communities. So the understanding of those and then working in parallel and jointly doing them. So, you know, it could be our corporates that are here and corporate businesses that are not only delivering for PNG, but it's more about the region as well, which takes in the Torres Strait Islands. So forget about the colonial boundaries, the actual boundaries and trade routes that have been in existence, the ancient ones that we have forged together as First Nations people for millennia. They're the ones that we should be looking at and revitalising, and how we share knowledge and experience, and how we also look at those corporate suppliers and providers of jobs and employment across a region.
Okay, the minister mentioned about, you know, how it's not, the investment is not just about for commercial purposes, but it's about helping each other. I've seen that Australian businesses come in and in working in PNG, they're also investing in our local communities. You know, what are your views on Australian businesses helping PNG locals help grow their businesses?
Yeah, well, I personally think that they shouldn't be allowed to invest over here unless there is a, you know, social, cultural and environmental outcomes as well as the economic outcomes, because it's really about building communities and growing communities and having healthy communities. So for us over there, one of the key sayings we have is caring for country, culture and people. And to me, investment should reflect that. So we, on our customary lands, we always looked at investors who are going to contribute to that. So we take very seriously about caring for our environment, because it's a link to us, it's part of our identity, caring for our culture, and then healthy people as well. So, which is about, you know, is there enough health services, education services for our people to be healthy and safe? And so that for me is, I think there's an ethical responsibility for corporates, and it's part of the, you know, the global sustainability goals that are there now that we expect from corporate people. So I think that Australian companies should be global leaders in setting a benchmark for how they ethically invest and develop communities and develop people, because that benefits all of us. And I think heading towards 2032 Olympic Games and Paralympic Games, there's a lot of the themes coming through with the legacy planning about what is our legacy outcomes for our Pacific Nation family. And that, of course, PNG is one of our major families. So I kind of see, you know, PNG is family. It's our brother and sisters from a First Nations perspective. So yeah, any investment should be clearly looking at it. And we say, one of our famous poets, Ani Ujiru Nunakul, she had a poem called A Song of Hope. And the key lines in that we always refer to our father's fathers, the pain, the sorrow, to our children's children, the glad tomorrow. So for us, we always have in mind, we're actually setting this up for our future generations. So we need to have a healthy environment. We need to have good training and education, because it's about setting the environment and the ecosystem for our children's children.
Could you just tell us about the project you mentioned down at the Central Province?
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate to have been involved with the project, which is a pilot project of the PNG government with Tuave, which is a development project with the Kuruos people of Rocker Village. And essentially there's the PNG government has paid for the land to develop which is a resort, affordable housing, so the manufacturing housing. And so my role in that is they saw what we had done with unlocking our customary lands in terms of environmental, tourism campgrounds, education facilities. So we've been able to share knowledge. So I came up in January for my first time. Beautiful country. I love this country. And got to go and sit down and talk and listen to what their aspirations were. Then we took a delegation down to Minjeriba, which is my family's island down there, and they got to stay on in our tourism glamping accommodation and see how we run our national parks and our tourism and our economic development. We're doing mining rehabilitation. So there was this shared project of First Nations to First Nations capacity building. And so we're exploring ways that we can continue that relationship, almost become sister First Nations, you know, in terms of sport, recreation, culture, the arts as vehicles for us to have that economic development discussion and sharing how we do tourism. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, some of the young girls coming down to our education and training hub and then doing some work experience in there in our tourism side of things, and then they can bring that skills and knowledge back up here. And likewise, we can come up and look at what we might do up this way. So it's an amazing project. It's funded by the Australian High Commission up here, PNG. And so we're looking at progressing that. And one of the key things is where we were successful is that we actually had a long-term vision and strategy, and we developed that. So we're hoping that we can work with the couriers for them to decide what their long-term key areas they want to develop and what strategy is, so that if there is opportunities for development to unlock their customary lands, that they're going to be able to ensure that it leverages and provides those key things around health and housing, education, and the environment for their people.
And that interview with Chair of the Queensland First Nations Tourism Industry Council, Cameron Costello, concluding this month's AHC On Air program. To learn more about the National NAIDOC Week and planned activities in Port Moresby, please visit the Australian High Commission website and Facebook page. Until next time, I'm your host, Gregor Vira, and it's bye for now.
Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG in health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim Sindown, Namel Australia, and our PNG.